Welcome to this special Ignite Your Life series brought to you by Unity Online Radio. What would your life be like if you could live every moment with more energy, focus, and joy? Spiritual coaches Daryl and Ed, Carla McClellan, Reverend Paul John Roach, Janet Connor, Reverend Maggie Oman Shannon, and Reverend Paulette Pipe are ready to show you. So settle in, listen up, and get ready to ignite your life with renewed passion and purpose.
Welcome to Ignite Your Creativity, 5 Ways to Nurture Your Creative Spirit. I'm your host, Reverend Maggie Oman Shannon. I'm the senior minister of Unity Spiritual Center of San Francisco, the host of Creative Spirit, Connecting Art and Soul on Unity FM, and the author of 6 books on prayer and spiritual practice. My last book, Crafting Calm, Projects and Practices for Creativity and Contemplation, focused on the many ways we can use our creative expressions as a form of connecting with the divine. And in this session, you are about to embark on an exploration that has been crafted to offer you ideas, inspirations, and forms for using creative expression to nurture your spirit, your creative spirit. Whether you already employ a few of these practices or are new to all of them, you will find something here in our journey together to renew or refresh your views about what creativity can be and your understanding of yourself as a creative being. Before we begin, I'd like to set a context for what I mean by the words creative spirit and how I see all of the practices we'll talk about as a way of connecting our creativity to our spiritual life, how we can use our creative expressions as a form of prayer, of communion with the divine. So for this part, it will be helpful to take a look at your personal associations with the word prayer. For many who grew up in the English-speaking Judeo-Christian world, our earliest concepts of prayer were bowing our heads to a deity outside of us, a God who judged us and rewarded or punished us according to the grades on our cosmic report card. In various faiths, God is not always seen as a single entity. For example, the traditional Christian view of God is the Holy Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, while Hindus know the divine in a variety of forms, both God and goddess, that represent different spiritual energies. And in many theologies, including Unity, God is seen not as separate from us, but as indwelling, found within us. Thus, our concept of prayer will be largely informed by whether we see God as being outside of us, inside of us, or some indefinable combination of the two, and will consequently mean something different to each of us. For that reason, the definition of prayer, how I mean the word prayer when I say it, is not so much about communicating with the divine, although prayer can certainly incorporate that, but communing with the divine. In this lecture, we will be exploring 5 different ways to creatively place us in the presence of God. For some, this will suggest a relationship with God, and for others, it will imply our spiritual identity as expressions of God. No matter how you embrace or don't embrace the concept of God, you will find and explore tools here that will deepen your identity as a creative being with a creative spirit. So let us begin now by setting an intention for our time together. Interestingly, as the late cultural anthropologist Angelus Arian reminded us, cross-culturally, prayer is a way of setting a sacred intention. And the word pray comes from old European roots meaning to ask. So what is it that you're asking from this lecture? What is your intention for listening to it? For some, it might be a single quality, a greater sense of peace, connection, joy, wholeness. For others, it might lie in a desire for discovery, to explore new ways of seeing yourself as a creative spirit and encountering the divine of your understanding. Part of my intention for creating this and the exercises we're about to explore is to encourage each of you to see yourselves as creative, to connect with God, your higher power, however you define that, in new ways, and to trust your inner guidance during these explorations. It has been one of my greatest joys during the last 15 years to introduce my spiritual directees, worship and retreat participants, and congregants to some of these creative practices, and to see them bloom with the discovery of their own symbolic language. Creativity is as loaded a word in this society as spirituality is, but I promise you that you will discover how your innate, God-given creativity can enhance your spiritual life and vice versa. You have a vast and personal reference library inside of you. There are symbols, colors, shapes, words, and other elements carried by you that, once unearthed and engaged with, will deepen your experience of God and of life itself. At the root of all that we will be exploring is the constant invitation to be in the presence of God and to know God, to know your God. That said, please know at the onset that perhaps there might be exercises here that you won't want to continue, and that's a great result of this process. I'm going to give you a sampling of five creative possibilities that have been found meaningful by others so that you can discern what is most meaningful for you. Just as our concept of and relationship to the divine is as uniquely individual as we are, so our creative life and our devotional life will be. Honor who you are and what you find yourself moved by. And no matter what faith path you follow, it will be helpful to follow the guidance found in the New Testament's 1 Thessalonians 5:21, which says, "Test everything. Hold on to the good." Let's begin. Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. Anyone out there know who said that? I've seen it attributed both to Martin Luther and to Martin Luther King Jr., but whoever said it, it clearly has a spiritual resonance. Everyone who is alive and conscious in this complex 21st century world has perhaps had a thought at least once, even if it was just a brief thought, that the world itself does seem to be going to pieces. Given some of the headlines we've seen, sometimes it can feel like an act of courage just to turn on our web browser or television. And those kinds of headlines affect us. They can depress us or make us fearful, or both. But listen again to those wonderful words. Even if I knew that tomorrow the world would go to pieces, I would still plant my apple tree. It is our call in today's world to plant our apple trees, to maintain a sense of hope, to work to create a better future for ourselves and for those with whom we inhabit the planet. And creating a better future involves some big jobs, of course, but it also involves making changes in our hearts and minds. A smaller job, but no less easy sometimes. And that's what I want to explore with you today. How we can maintain that sense of hope, inspiration, and motivation to keep going, and not only to keep going, but even to be creative along the way. For me, that's why it's so important to nurture our creative spirit. We in Unity know the power of our thoughts and feelings in creating our reality. But just knowing about that power doesn't mean that we will always find it easy to keep our thoughts positive. So today my intention is to give you some ideas and inspiration for how you can do that through creative activity. How you can, to use the title of my last book, craft calm. Along the way, I will share little bits of my story with you, a few experiences that have shaped my interest in the interplay between spirituality and creativity. When I was a little girl, there was another little girl across the street whose family was Catholic. And I can still remember the way her room looked when her parents redecorated it. Antiqued pine green furniture, a yellow cube alarm clock. This was 1970. And the most wonderful thing of all, in the center of her dresser was a porcelain figure who depicted Mary, the mother of Jesus. And around this figure was a shallow bowl, a silk lily of the valley. I was captivated by this figure. And as you can see, or hear, I still am, almost 50 years later. Since I wasn't Catholic, and in fact my parents had very little interest in religion at that time, I wanted to know what that figure represented. Why was she there? And what did she remind my friend of? I tell that story because I think it was the beginning of my interest in symbols, particularly spiritual symbols, and what they represent to people around the world. And of course, in my own journey, in my own spiritual experiences, symbols have emerged which have been very powerful for me. And looking back on it now, I of course know that that wonderful arrangement that captivated me so much was an altar. And I want to invite you to start there by making your own personal altar to remind you of and to nurture your creative spirit. In his wonderful book about making personal altars, Edward Searle wrote, "Through an altar, including the objects placed on it and the acts performed around it, a person invokes and has a relationship with the transcendent. It's a place to invite, to talk to, and to know God. It's a place of aspiration of and dedication to ideals. It's a place to bring and grow your soul. Altars are as ancient as civilization itself. And the practice of creating a personal altar is one that we do naturally, instinctively. Whether or not they view it as an altar, most of us, most people, have groupings of personally significant elements in their homes. Framed photographs of loved ones, special candles or fresh flowers in a beautiful vase, cherished treasures from a dear friend or family member, a small box, piece of artwork, or found object from nature. The only thing that would distinguish this arrangement from what many are calling their personal altars is simply the conscious intention behind it. In both the example of the tableau that I just mentioned and with a personal altar, the objects chosen for placement are visual reminders of what's most beautiful, true, and precious in our lives. What transforms a tabletop arrangement into an altar is the intention to make that space sacred, to use it as a place where we can acknowledge the God of our understanding. The altar then becomes a sensory cue to transform the way we are holding ourselves, our lives, our hopes and fears. In front of our personal altars, we indeed sacrifice or surrender our lower thought forms as we shift our consciousness to honor a higher power. And in addition to including elements that remind one of inspirational figures or beloved friends, family members, or pets, items placed on a personal altar can have symbolic significance. In her book, Altars Made Easy, author Peg Streep delineates a number of approaches that one can use mindfully when creating a personal altar. For example, deliberately placing an altar in a particular direction can be significant to one's spiritual focus, as can the lore and symbology behind different numbers, colors, animal representations, stones, flowers, plants, and herbs. In addition, altars can be created for specific intentions. When entering the doors of Asian-owned businesses, one often sees small raised altars replete with incense and offerings, such as flowers and mandarin oranges. during Mexico's Day of the Dead festival, held annually at the beginning of November. Ancestors who are no longer living are commemorated with elaborate ofrendas, which include candles, marigolds, religious icons, and the ancestors' favorite foods and drink, along with sweetbreads, I should say sweetbreads, in the shape of people and sugar skulls. What I want to suggest to you now is that you make a personal altar to honor your creative spirit. So to begin, take a look around your living space. Note the arrangements you have in place already. Do any of them represent your sense of the capital M mystery? You may have an altar in place without consciously acknowledging it as such. And if not, then mindfully gather items that will support your creative life. These could include a brightly colored candle, a book of sacred scripture or poetry, postcards of artworks that stir your soul, talismans that inspire you to create. Return to this place to pray and meditate, and if you feel called to do so, add to your creative spirit altar collection as you continue to explore your own creativity. Notice how creating a special focus for your creativity deepens your experience of your creative spirit. And consider integrating it into your sessions of creative expression. Perhaps you might want to say a prayer there or read from a poetry book before starting your creative work. Once you have your altar in place, you can use it to discover more about your personal symbols, which is a favorite topic of mine. I have had two intertwining careers, one as a writer, first as a journalist and then an author of books, and one as a spiritual guide, first as a spiritual director and now as the senior minister of a church. In both of these areas of my work, I've explored symbols, both universal symbols, as they're found in world religions and folklore, and personal symbols, the kind of symbols that are unique to each one of us. Helping others to discover their personal symbols is one of the biggest passions of my life. Today, I am hoping that in the course of our time together, you will begin to reflect upon what some of your personal symbols are, because often our own internal inner symbols are what is the most powerful for us in accessing our personal messages from spirit. One way to do this, to really start to get a handle on your own symbolic vocabulary, is to start a journal that lists what symbols, colors, animal, and other totems mean to you. In other words, your own personal dictionary of symbols. There are many, many wonderful books out there that can help you start thinking about this subject. The works of Barbara Walker come to mind. There's a wonderful book called The Book of Symbols. And one of my favorite books to recommend in this area is Ted Andrews' Animal Speak, which lists the folkloric associations with different animals, insects, and birds. So if you keep having squirrels cross your path, as I did one spring a few years ago, you can look up squirrel and see what message the universe might be sending you. Just for the record, if you're curious, the association I made with squirrel is that I needed to incorporate more play into my life at that time. You can also note what particular colors mean to you, what particular glyphs or signs might mean to you. And knowing that, having a record of your own personal symbols is extremely empowering. You can use those colors, symbols, and totems in your own artwork, or just use them in your journals to mark different phases of your life. Or try wearing them as jewelry or clothing when you especially want to give power to something you're trying to transform in your life. In other words, say the color purple means spirituality to you. And in fact, that is a common association with the color purple. To strengthen your spiritual life, you might want to wear more purple, or make a purple prayer shawl, or create purple prayer beads, or wear a piece of jewelry with an amethyst or other purple stone to remind you to stay mindful during your days. You can also do this with your animal, insect, and bird totems, and with glyphs and symbols. And what doing that does for you is help you to keep your sacred intentions in front of you. And that all starts by knowing what your personal symbols are. And there's no better place to start this awareness than by creating a personal symbol dictionary. So now that you've had the opportunity to create an altar to support your creative spirit, and you've created or have started to create a journal, what I'm calling a dictionary of personal symbols to use both in your creative expression and to support your intentions, you can move on to another wonderful activity that will also support your creative spirit. And that is making a personal holy book. Perhaps like me, you've always loved inspirational and spiritual quotations. My habit of collecting them started when I was a teenager, when I proudly affixed the then ubiquitous poster that read, "Today is the first day of the rest of your life," to my wall, and I kept adding other bits of inspiration as I found them. A precocious friend of mine in high school at the time compared me to a character in a Dorothy Parker poem, the woman who, quote, "lives with mottos on the wall," end quote. And I have to say that I haven't quit yet. I am a dedicated keeper of quotes, and though through the years the ways in which I've kept them have varied, it has always been in some kind of book form, my own private prayer book, if you will. Thus, when in 1999 I came across the book Create Your Personal Sacred Text by Bobby L. Parrish, I was ecstatic. What better way to blend one's creativity with one's spirituality than to create your own personal book of spiritual wisdom? Now, I'm not sure that that wonderful book is still in print. I want to repeat the name of it and the year that it was published so you can take a look at used bookstores or Amazon Marketplace and see if you can find a copy. It's well worth having. The book name again is Create Your Personal Sacred Text, and the author is Bobby L. Parrish, spelled B-O-B-B-I, and Parrish is P-A-R-R-I-S-H. It was published in 1999. And in this book, Parrish wrote, "Creating a spiritual text is a unique process. There never has been, and there never will be, another human being exactly like you. Your thoughts, personality, ideas, and behaviors will go unduplicated for all of time. Consequently, no one has or will ever again have the understanding of and relationship with spirit that you do. Your work will have a value unequal to anything that will ever be done. Give the universe the gift of knowing who you are so we can all learn from your experience." What a great clarion call to express your creative spirit. So if you're intrigued by this idea of keeping a personal holy book, there are many different ways you can go about it. Through the years, I've kept different kinds of personal holy books. Some of them have been collections of prayers. And professionally, I've also published two anthologies of prayer, Prayers for Healing and Prayers for Hope and Comfort, which both contain prayers from around the world and across traditions that you might find good references for your personal holy book. I've done collections of spiritual quotations. I did a book of prayer concerns and of answered prayers, and a journal of collaged visual prayers. I also started a prayer book of daily words, the daily words that meant the most to me, so that I can flip and I have my own edited version of the best of daily word. So again, there are many, many ways that you can approach this idea, and I just invite you to delight in the process as you sift through the colors and the quotations that have touched you through the years. Or create your own as you're moved to in the moment. Use as your guidance when you're working on this or any other creative activity the words of the great Sufi poet Rumi, who wrote, "Let yourself be silently drawn by the strange pull of what you really love." So to begin this process, ask yourself, have you ever kept a notebook full of poems, quotations, or song lyrics meaningful to you? Or do you now? If so, you've already begun creating your personal sacred text. If not, begin to pay attention to what moves you or inspires you as you go through life. Anything's appropriate, from a fortune cookie proverb to a quotation on the inside flap of a box of tea. If it stirs you spiritually, use it. And you can use any kind of vehicle for this that you want to. You can do it in a large binder that you continue to add to, or a bound journal that's simply beautiful. You can embellish the pages with the colors and the symbols that add additional meaning to you. However you choose to start and keep your personal holy book, your personal sacred text, is the perfect way to do it. And you will find as you continue to work on it that it will nourish your creative spirit in very deep and profound ways. Now that you have these important things in place, your creative spirit altar, your dictionary or your journal of personal symbols, and your personal holy book, you have a great grounding for expanding the exploration of your creative spirit even further. All of the things that you've just explored in those three activities can be works in progress your entire life. You will always find new things to add to your creative spirit altar, to your dictionary of personal symbols, and to your personal holy book as you grow and evolve. But having these in your life gives you a good foundation for continuing to expand your creative spirit with daily practices. And I would encourage you to find something that you can do on a daily basis to keep your identity as a creative being before you, and also to move more mindfully through your days. For some, it might simply be a prayer or time of meditation in front of your personal altar, or a flip through your personal symbol dictionary or personal holy book. But others might want to explore adding new things to the mix, and I want to give you a couple ideas for those. Though I have never done it myself on a consistent basis, I once came across the idea of doing a haiku, the Japanese poetic form of three lines with 5, 7, and 5 syllables at the end of every day. I just love that idea, the idea of keeping a haiku journal and writing a haiku at the end of every day to mark whatever special, transcendent, or even mundane thing happened in your day. So to give you an example of what that could look like, here's a haiku that was written in the late 1700s by a haiku writer named Yosabu San. He wrote, "A summer river being crossed, how pleasing with sandals in my hands. I'll repeat that. A summer river being crossed, how pleasing, with sandals in my hands. So you get the idea. It can be just a moment in time. It can be just a single experience, just a short 3-line haiku at the end of every day would be such a wonderful way to nurture one's creative spirit and really appreciate all that happens in one's life. Another idea for a daily practice comes from a woman I know who starts every morning by doing a simple painting of an empty bowl. For her, it symbolizes the possibility that every day holds for that bowl to be filled. And I know it has been very meaningful for her to begin her days in this way. So whether it's a haiku, a quick watercolor of an empty bowl, a flip through your symbol dictionary or personal holy book, or something entirely different, I do encourage you to think about something that you could easily integrate into your day, or at least do consistently to keep your creative spirit nurtured. The possibilities are endless and will be best if they are personally meaningful to you. Now, as you have the opportunity to do these things, you will start to discover what form of creative expression or expressions you are naturally drawn to, if you don't know that already. We are all creative, and we all express our creativity in different ways. But sometimes we don't think of ourselves as being creative because we take for granted what it is that we can do so easily. Being a wonderful storyteller, putting together an outfit in an interesting and fresh way, cooking a delicious meal, decorating our interior spaces. These are all forms of creativity that sometimes we overlook. But if you desire to have a mode of creative expression that is traditionally thought of as being a form of art or craft, and you don't know where to start in terms of finding one, then I have a few suggestions for you. Many people have heard the theory that there are three primary ways in which we learn: visually, auditorily, and kinesthetically. In other words, we take in information best either by reading or watching something, by hearing about something, or by using our hands, hands-on involvement. So if you don't know where to start when looking for a mode of creativity, then I suggest starting there by looking at how you best learn. If you're highly visual, then you probably want to consider something that primarily involves your sight, painting or collage, for example. If you're more auditory oriented, then a musical instrument of some sort, such as drumming or making wind chimes or a tabletop fountain, something involving sound might excite you. If you're more kinesthetic, then an art or craft that involves touch might excite you, making prayer beads or knitting. If you really don't know where to start, then buy yourself a kit of children's finger paints and just have fun dipping your hands in the cool colors and sliding them around a piece of paper. This actually can involve all three of those forms of learning, from the visual sight of the beautiful colors to the sound that that wonderful finger paint makes, kind of gurgles as you glop it on. And then, of course, the wonderful tactile feeling that you are enjoying as you spread finger paints on a piece of paper. The idea behind this is just to let yourself be a kid again. Just play and let yourself explore what you love doing. Because this is really key. In order to nurture your creative spirit, the most important thing you can do is to release judgment. It's judging ourselves that can tie us up into knots and stifle our creative flow. So as you're on this journey to express yourself creatively and to nourish your creative spirit, just let yourself play and discover what you love. Because in the end, I think that nurturing your creative spirit is all about love, being aware of what you love, what lights you up and inspires you, and sharing that love with the world. In the last few years, I have had the opportunity and blessing of working with many, many people in creating artistic forms that help them not only to nurture their creative spirit, but also to explore other aspects of their lives, some of which I'll outline right now. Connection. That through our arts and crafts, we connect to ourselves, to others, to God. But we only can do this when we remember that our creativity is about process, not necessarily end product. Allow yourself just to explore and to enjoy the process, and that's easier to do when you think of your creative activity as being a form of meditation or a form of prayer. You wouldn't judge that, would you? Hopefully not. So in the same way, don't judge your creative expressions. Think of them as a form of meditation and notice how they'll allow you to connect to yourself, to others, and to God. Creativity can help us to connect to our aspirations. It can help us to get really clear about what they are. We can use our creativity to really get in touch with the highest vision that we can hold of ourselves. And we can use our creativity to be reminded of our aspirations every day. It's a powerful way to use creativity. As I mentioned before, creativity, of course, is a conduit to finding out and to finding out what we love and to expressing love. Creating as a spiritual practice enables us to be in touch, sometimes literally, with what it is that we love, the colors that we love, the materials we love, the images we love, the people we love. Creativity has an intimate connection to love. And creativity helps us to make meaning because the very act of creating is taking a stand. It's saying that you believe in the future enough that you have made something that has never been made before and that may even outlast you. But even if what you make won't outlast you, you have found meaning in the making of it. You have planted your apple tree, to hearken back to the quotation that I mentioned earlier in our time together today. Through expressing your creativity, you get in touch with your intention, and you can develop your intention. You can explore what your intention is for your life, for your work, for the world. What is your intention for your creativity? It's a powerful process for helping us to get in touch with our intention. And of course, as I'm suggesting, creating helps us to get in touch with the numinous, with the transcendent. It helps us to enter another world, a world where time stops. Because through crafting and creative explorations, you not only can explore the numinous, you can experience it. And finally, creating can ground us. It's grounding. It centers us. It grounds us. It keeps us in the present moment. Perhaps almost more than anything else I can think of, with maybe the exception of being in the presence of animals and children, creating gets us into the present moment. It's a form of meditation, and it gets us into the now. So looking at our creativity this way helps us to get that it's not about being good. It's not about being a capital A artist. It's all about reminders. It's about creating reminders for ourselves. It's for keeping our sacred intentions in front of us. You know, I wrote a book called Crafting Calm, and some of the benefits that creating as a spiritual practice can provide, which I wrote about in the book, include calm, clarity, comfort, contemplation, creation, community, connection with others, and of course, as we've just looked at, connection with spirit. And we need this kind of reminder. The famous Southern Californian writer Joan Didion once said, "I write to find out what I think." Well, I believe that we can create whatever form you wish to do that in to find out what we feel or to find out what we want to feel, to create a remembrance or a vision of what is most true, excellent, pure, and beautiful in this world. In the conclusion to my book, Crafting Calm, there's a quotation by Frederick Buechner that I think really sums up what creating as a spiritual practice, what nurturing our creative spirit can help us to do. And these are the beautiful words he wrote. "Listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery that it is. In the boredom and the pain of it, no less than in the excitement and gladness, touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it. Because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. I wish each of you a graced journey as you nurture your creative spirit and share your creativity with a world that deeply needs each of our contributions. If you'd like more inspiration, please do join me on Wednesdays at Unity FM for my weekly radio show, Creative Spirit, Connecting Art and Soul. And do join my Facebook community, Creating as a Spiritual Practice. I want to thank you for joining me today, and I wish you every blessing on your creative journey.
Funding for this special Unity Online Radio Ignite Your Life series is made possible by the support of donors like you. Please consider sharing a gift today at unityonlineradio.org/ignite. That's unityonlineradio.org/ignite. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this installment of Ignite Your Life. Catch the entire series here on Unity Online Radio. Fuel your mind, body, and spirit with inspiration from our life coaches, Daryl and Ed, Carla McClellan, Reverend Paul John Roach, Janet Connor, Reverend Maggie Oman Shannon, and Reverend Paulette Pipe, all on unityonlineradio.org/ignite.